The critics of this plan say, well, it won't work because if you're going to do flat tax, you got to have at least a 20% tax across the board. Otherwise, you're not going to take in enough money to support the United States.
Well, listen, any critic who's saying that is not looking at the numbers.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
My tax plan says that for a family of four, the first $36,000, you pay zero. No income tax, no payroll tax. Above that, everyone pays a flat tax of 10%. That means that billionaire hedge fund managers no longer pay a lower rate than their secretaries.
We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, the world around you, and most importantly, your retirement.
In order for the government to raise as much money as it does now, the flat tax rate has to be higher than 20%.
That's if you don't have the business flat tax. But the business flat tax generates three-fourths of the revenue needed to fund the government comes from the business side rather than the individual side. That's how we have a low 10% flat tax.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to The Worth Report. This is our second edition, and I'm excited to be here. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, with my good friend and colleague, Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. How you feeling this morning, Glenn?
Doing good, man. Good morning. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. You know, each week we plan to bring you financial news that you can use. We'll be exploring all kinds of areas of financial planning and also offering commentary on local, national, and global events that will help you to sustain your financial future. So let's jump right in. Before the show began, Glenn, we were talking about we're in an election season.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's really got a plan, right? Everybody wants to help you save money.
That's right.
We just heard from one of the candidates talking about a simple tax rate. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, Ted Cruz talked about this this new flat tax, really more like a VAT tax, but it's going to lower tax rates for everybody, 10% on the personal side, 16% flat tax on the business side. He talked about cutting down the IRS. That's still, of course, going to be needed. Going to have some type of entity to keep up with all of this stuff. But the goal is to really get enterprise going. And this is something we've seen before, Nick. I mean, it's nothing new. We've heard it before in the last election cycle with Mitt Romney. We've heard it. And Herman Cain talked about 999. You probably remember that one. This is a new version of that. Heard it before when we hear trickle down economics of lowering tax rates, but it's interesting. It actually starts before Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Before you get into
I
always enjoy the depth of your knowledge about financial matters, right? And obviously, you're also a student of financial planning and financial history. Right?
I'm a nerd, Nick. You can go ahead and say it. It's all right.
I wasn't going to say that, but okay.
Right.
That's probably why I like you so much, man. So, but in really simple terms, when I hear this flat tax,
mm-hmm.
it sounds so simplistic, right? And
yeah.
Why wouldn't anybody want a flat tax? I mean, it just makes sense. I do my... You know, I sit with my financial planner and we go through, you know, our taxes. It seems very complex. And just to the average person, when they hear flat tax and they make it sound so simple, and Ted Cruz, quite frankly, did a pretty good job, at least laying out his strategy. So help us to understand it, the sort of the elements of it. What are we really talking about?
Well, you know, what's going on right now, if you look at, you listen to what Warren Buffett talked about when he said he has a problem because his tax rate is actually lower than his assistant's tax rate, right? So there's certainly a problem. Here, using this flat tax, then everyone pays the same amount of tax. So the premise is if you actually pay less in tax and income tax, then you'll take that money and do something positive with it. You can reinvest back into the economy. So, for instance, let me give you an example. So, let's say tax rates are like they were in the 70s, and they were at the highest tax levels were 70%.
And what would that mean to the average person? Let's say the tax rate was high. What does that mean to the average person?
first of all, we're talking about a select few.
Okay.
Right? We're talking about a select few who are the highest income earners. So this is the premise of trickle down. We're talking about the highest earners, let's say 70%. What do you do with that money? History has shown that we'll find tax shelters to invest in. Mm-hmm. So typically tax shelters are quote unquote hoarding, right? So even if we buy municipal bonds, because we don't have to pay tax on the interest on those bonds, versus putting more money into enterprise, i.e. stocks, or any other, or real estate or any other business where I may have to pay income tax or capital gains tax.
So the idea is for the individual to grow wealth.
Right.
Right. That's the goal, I suppose. Right.
Right. But growing wealth, and this is how it really goes down to everybody else. So we're growing wealth. We're starting companies. We're investing in real estate. There are people who are building these buildings, who are fixing up these buildings and so forth. So we are, quote unquote, creating jobs.
I see.
So by having a lower tax, that's more money that that person would be comfortable with putting money back into these enterprises that should hope bring more jobs.
That makes sense to me. So for the average individual who may not think in these about these financial products, paying a flat tax would mean that they would keep more of their earning.
No.
Right? Oh, no.
No, not necessarily. Okay. So on the highest levels, if you're paying right now, the highest level is 39.6%, right? So if that goes down to 10, then there's a good chance that you're going to pay lower amounts of tax.
Sure.
Even if you have you're a high income earner, your marginal tax rate's 20, 25, 30% after all your deductions, 10% is a lot better. But what if your marginal tax rate now was 5% or 7%?
I see.
Right? Then you could actually end up paying more tax.
I see.
By having this as well. So it's not a clear, this is better for everybody. There are some people who are going to be affected adversely as well.
So fundamentally, when we hear candidates really advocate for this flat tax, in the final analysis, who are they helping?
That's a very interesting question. Who knows? I mean, there are people who are going to be helped. There are people who are going to be hurt. Certainly, people who are paying a significant portion of tax should get a lower rate. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that they pay less in tax. Going back to, you take 1921, where people who made over $100,000 a year, they paid 70% income tax rates. Okay?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But $100,000 was a lot of money back then as well.
That's true.
It still is.
Right.
So even more so then. So now you fast forward to 1929. The highest tax rate was 24%, okay, for people who made over $100,000. Now, going back to 1921, the government made $700 million from that, okay, in fact, everybody, they collected $700 million. So of which 30% came from the people who made over $100,000. Now, you fast forward to 1929, 8 years later, the tax rate drops to 24%. Now, 65% of that money, would happen to be over $1 billion, so they actually collected more money. But 65% of that came from people who make $100,000 or more. So, if the tax rate's lower, sometimes the mindset may be, I may want to put more in different areas where I may be taxed. However, I'll win. So that's why some people may actually decide and choose to pay more tax.
I see. So you mentioned some strategic dates, 1921, I think you said 1929.
Yep.
So what triggered for me is the Depression.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about how the economy, shifts in the economy, what's going on in the economy affects attitudes around taxes. 1929, you had sort of a great collapse of the economy.
Absolutely.
Right? And all of the ideas about finances shifted, mm-hmm, So whatever they knew before 1929 changed.
Absolutely.
After 1929. And policies were driven, right?
Right.
As a result, right, of the economy collapsing. So we just came out of a huge, you know, recession. And in fact, almost a depression, right?
Correct.
That caused, as we've been talking about, and we'll talk more about, companies, individuals, to take drastic measures to sustain not only their current state, but the future state. And out of that came a whole range of policies. We just heard the Fed rate, you know, is the interest rate has just shifted, right? Mm-hmm. All of these factors coming together, they don't happen, in my mind, independently from the state of the economy. So
right.
what's the relationship between, I guess, shifting attitudes and policies around the taxes and the economy?
Well, the reason why I look back at those dates, because that is the era right before the Great Depression, and I've studied the Great Depression as well. And you're right, Nick, we don't have to look very far to look at hard times, as we saw the collapse in the market in 2008-2009. The mindset becomes more from a consumer mindset to more of an investing mindset. And I think that's what we really need to look at from a personal perspective. Before, if you look at from 1921 to 29, if you look at 2003 to 2007, we saw great runs in the stock market. We saw great runs with companies. We saw incomes go up. Many things became inflated. Just, you know, there are a lot of similarities between the two. And after it happened and the bottom fell out both times, then we saw now we're trying to get back to the essentials. So for me, as a financial planner, the goal is to keep those same essentials all the time, right? So even when times are good, when the stock market is roaring, when you're getting job promotions and salary increases, that's the time to prepare for when times aren't so good. And not just in the United States, but we can look globally and see the ups and downs of the markets, of us economically, period. These things are going to happen, so we got to make sure we plan for it. And I think that's where all these things have happened. We failed to plan.
And there's more financial news that you can use. If you'd like to learn more about your financial future, call Worth Financial at 704-731-0121 or visit the website at www.worthadvisors.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright, giving you financial news you can use. When I say the word future, what do you think about? Your kids? Your retirement? For me, I wanted security and comfort. Then I met Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, and that's what I got. Security and comfort. Glenn is a real financial advisor. He walks you through every step of your financial future and gives you a plan that will work for you. So do what I did. Pick up the phone and call Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or simply log on to their website at worthadvisors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For financial news you can use, and for some security and comfort, get in touch with Worth Financial today.
Financial news you can use.
This is The Worth Report. Now, back to your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Welcome back to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton. Glenn, we were having a great conversation about the economic volatility of the markets, and you were about to talk a little bit more about how this climate affects your personal savings and financial planning.
Nick, we really don't know what's going to happen in this new election. I mean, we've got two vastly different tax strategies. And so the importance to me is to look at what's going on today. And with that, we need to look at saving. Even with interest rates just creep back up, we know that. However, interest rates are still very, very low. So if you're buying a home, you're financing a car, you're getting very low rates, your payments should be lower than what they have been historically. If you look at, if you go to the gas pump, I was at the gas pump the other day, and wow, gas is really low. So gas is low. Interest rates are still historically very, very low. This is the time where you actually want to save. You want to save your money. You want to put it away for a rainy day. Because guess what? 2008 happened before. Just like it did in 29 and many other years in between, it's going to happen again, right? That's just a fact. That's going to happen. So we want to make sure that we're prepared. This is the time to focus on saving money. And Nick, with saving, especially if you have good credit, and I get this all the time, if you have good credit and you have very low debt rates, interest rates on your debt, i.e. credit cards, maybe a student loan or mortgage or so forth, auto loan, then don't focus on paying off the debt entirely. So I believe that you should, with your disposable income that's left to be paid for the debt right now, instead of paying 100% toward that, 50 to 75% of that can go toward the debt. The other 50 to 25% needs to go in some type of savings plan. Most people don't have 12 months of reserves saved.
So that's the goal. The goal is to have 12 months of reserves.
Six to 12 months. So if you are single or if you're married with one income, then you need 12 months living expenses saved. If you are, if you have two incomes, then 6 months saved. The goal used to be 3 to 6 months living expenses. Well, that's gone by the wayside.
Why has that shifted?
Because, you know, being here in Charlotte, we can see what happened with the banks. People have a job today. They don't have one tomorrow. And then what if both of you, both spouses, work for the bank or work for any other institution? And history has shown us, recent history, that those jobs can get cut out tomorrow. Nothing's promised. So it's important to make sure that you have your 12 months living expenses saved. And since most don't have that, and we see that with our low savings rates, then we need to work to change that. So instead of paying down the debt, and I know it's, we hate having this nagging debt out there, but if interest rates are very low, then we need to make sure we save more of that and then take our time to pay down over time our debt.
Well,
now,
well, that's critical financial news that everyone can use, right?
Absolutely.
You talked a little bit about credit and the value of having X amount of credit in terms of percentages you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
Well, the first thing is I want to make one more point. If you have high interest rates, meaning credit cards of 15 to 19% or higher, then we want to really focus on paying that down. We do want to be more systematic to really pay that down. However, in this rate environment now, if people have credit under 7%, 3%, 2%, 1%, we want to take our time with that. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that. But credit's king. Credit's king. Making sure that you have good credit is vital in our economy. I mean, it's difficult to buy a Starbucks these days without, you know, having good credit. And there are ways to do that. One way of doing this, and we saw this, Nick, in 2008, 2009. Instead of putting all your money in one place and paying down this debt, and now your debt's finally paid. So imagine this. Imagine you had a credit cards of about $60,000, and we've seen people with this. They work hard and they're diligent and they pay it off, right?
With an income of what?
Income of $120,000.
Okay.
Okay. $100,000. You know, any income.
Context is important.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But they finally, over years, they pay this huge debt off. Okay. Now, the next day, the car breaks down, the washer and dryer breaks down, the roof is collapsing. What are you going to do? You didn't save any money. You put all your money toward the debt. So guess what you're going to have to do? Get right back in debt again and start over. But if we save over time, it may take us a little bit longer to get out of debt. However, you will stay out of debt by saving. So, but this starts by having good credit and working on your credit. If you work on your credit when these things happen, then you have some money where you can pull from to pay the bills. You know, these are just the perils of life. They happen all the time. And not just for, it might not just be you. It could be your kids. If your kids are going through something, you know, let's say they're adults or teenagers, doesn't matter. As a good parent, you're going to do whatever it takes to help them out, right?
That's right. That's right. So how do you develop good credit?
So,
and what's a good credit rating?
You want to typically you want your credit scores to be they range from 450 to 850. You typically want your credit scores to be above 720. Okay.
Above 720.
Then you're going to, if your credit score is above 720, you can pretty much demand whatever you want.
So what does that mean to lenders?
Okay.
When your score is above 720, what goes into that?
Several factors. One factor is going to be, which is very important, is the ratio between your balances and your limits. Your balances and your limits. Something else is going to be how many cards or how many credit lines do you have? How many inquiries do you have? There are a multitude of things that go into it, but the ratio between balances and limits are very, very important. So let me give you an example of that. So let's say that you have a someone that has four credit cards. They paid on time every month. Okay. Their balance is $29,000. The limit on all four cards is $30,000.
Okay. I see.
You don't have much money left there. I mean, you're almost at the top. But let's say you take that same person, pays their bills every month, and now they owe $10,000 of $30,000. So now their credit rating is, everything else being equal, will be higher. So making sure that you use your credit wisely. Because they give it to you, don't mean you have to use it all.
Well, that's good news. Wow. Well, that's perfect. That is absolutely spot on. Because so often, as you mentioned, they give it to you. Credit cards come in the mail, just want you to sign your name and keep it moving. And so what do you say to folk about that when they get these credit cards in the mail with these amazing, you know, maxes that you're to spend?
I take them up, rip them up. I wouldn't say burn them, but rip them up and throw them away. I mean, you don't need them. However, I'm huge on reward points. We're going to talk about that in another segment.
Reward points. What do you mean by reward points?
Travel reward, cash back rewards on credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful. There's so many things you can do there. I know so many people who are flying different places across the world for free just by spending their money using travel reward credit cards, getting cash back on things you're going to pay for anyway. So that's what I'm talking about. If you go to Starbucks right now and you buy a cup of coffee, it's going to cost you $4 or $5, whether you use cash or credit cards. Credit cards charge a fee, right, of typically anywhere from 1% to 3% what the merchants pay, right? So you're going to pay that fee whether you use cash or credit. If you use your credit card and get a travel reward credit card or a cash back card, now you're at least getting something back off of that fee that's being charged, because Starbucks knows that they're going to pay the fee. So that's why instead of paying $4.75 for the cup of coffee, you're going to pay $5. So at least you get something back for that.
That's good news. That's good news. Even though I think $4.75 is a lot for a cup of coffee, that's for another show.
Exactly.
I guess, right? But this is good stuff. So if you want more financial news that you can use, call Worth Financial at 704-731-0121. Or, of course, visit the website at www.worthadvisors.com. We'll be right back.
Giving you financial news you can use.
This is The Worth Report
with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
When I say the word future, what do you think about? Your kids? Your retirement? For me, I wanted security and comfort. Then I met Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, and that's what I got. Security and comfort. Glenn is a real financial advisor. He walks you through every step of your financial future and gives you a plan that will work for you. So do what I did. Pick up the phone and call Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or simply log on to their website at worthadvisors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For financial news you can use, and for some security and comfort, get in touch with Worth Financial today.
Now, the Worth Report. Look back at the show.
Welcome back to the Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Warden, here with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll take a look back at an element of our conversation that really speaks to an aspect of financial planning that our audience really should think deeply about. We talked about credit, and you, Glenn, laid out with clear perspective on the importance of managing credit. We're coming out of the Christmas season, and a lot of spending occurred.
Yep.
And a lot of debt occurred. So what would you say about managing credit?
It's interesting that you bring that point up, Nick. You know, the thing I think about is this is a very stressful time for people because they're buying gifts and they're going outside of their perceived budget. The first thought is, who actually put together a budget for Christmas? Very few people do. So that's the first thing I think about. So that person's walking in the mall and they are actually going to four or five stores. And in those stores, everyone's going to offer you a credit card. So what, and they'll offer you maybe 5, 10, 20% off your first purchase. So you get these credit cards. You say, I'll pay them off later. The interest rates are very high. Now you're starting this revolving door. The other part about store cards, typically they can actually lower your credit score by getting those because they have smaller balances. The interest rates are very, very high on those cards. So I feel concerned. This is the point of the year where I am most concerned about how people are spending their money, because this, what they do in December can affect the rest of the year. It may take a year just to get back on track from what you did in December, and that will certainly affect your credit, and we're not focused on saving. So we got to make sure that we certainly save and work to keep our credit scores higher. Going to get four or five cards, and I've seen people do this. Quite a few people do this. I saw people in the mall signing up as I was in the mall this year. So those are the things that really concern me as it pertains to financial health.
So that's financial news you can use, Glenn. Thank you very much for another exciting show.
Thank you, Nick.
For more financial news you can use, please go to Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or visit the website at www.worthadvisors.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us again next week for another edition of the Worth Report.
When I say the word future, what do you think about? Your kids? Your retirement? For me, I wanted security and comfort. Then I met Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, and that's what I got. Security and comfort. Glenn is a real financial advisor. He walks you through every step of your financial future and gives you a plan that will work for you. So do what I did. Pick up the phone and call Worth Financial, 704-731-0121, or simply log on to their website at worthadvisors.com. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. For financial news you can use and for some security and comfort, get in touch with Worth Financial today.